Welcome to the Round 6 Podcast, a weekly roundtable discussion featuring a variety of automotive subjects, interviews, special guests, and stories. Hosted by the Round 6 Gearheads, Brian Stubsky, Brad King, Eric Hibbs, Alex Welsh, and Del Swanson. With us this week in the studio is special guest host Mr. Steve Hayes. Joining us on episode 3 is our good friend Chad Reynolds from Bangshift.com. Welcome to the Round 6 Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Brad.
I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Del.
And with us tonight is a very special guest. We have Mr. Chad Reynolds. You may recognize his name from being the voice behind Hot Rods Power Tour, numerous Good Guys events, and of course, Bangshift.com. Welcome aboard, Chad.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it. It's good to be on with you. I've heard all the stories about all of the fun you have, and I couldn't resist being a part of it.
You may regret that.
We're happy to have you here on one of Eric's old pull-out couches. So,
don't sit there.
Seriously, sit on the floor. Trust me.
And from there, it went downhill.
Yeah.
Off to a great start.
So how are you tonight, sir? How are you doing, Chad?
Oh, just dandy. You know, living the dream, getting ready to leave town for another event this weekend. Had one I was supposed to be leaving tomorrow for, but the weather is not looking good in St. Louis, so they postponed a race at the PSCA Heads Up Hootenanny. And so instead, we're flying out on Saturday and getting ready for the FM3 road trip next week.
So, Chad, I know you're doing you're the voice of all these events, and you're doing your live streaming coverage. How did all this get started? Tell us about your background.
Oh, you know, I've been a hot rod guy my entire life. And, you know, I grew up at Fremont Drag Strip. And, you know, my grandfather had an auto shop that I grew up in and spent all my summers, you know, at his place while everybody else went to a babysitter or something like that during their summers or camp or whatever bullshit you normal people do. I went to my grandfather's auto shop and put 100,000 miles on a floor jack every summer and, you know, learned the cross thread is better than a lock washer sometimes.
Alex, there you go. Hey.
You're a rat rod builder then.
So. Yeah. Oh. I'm a whatever anybody wants to pay for builder. Like every smart hot rod builder.
There you go.
I had the hot rod shop for a while. I've done all that. But yeah, I grew up with, you know, Northern California drag racing and doing all that. And my dad, you know, with his car and built my first car, my 69 Camaro convertible, which had been an NHRA stock eliminator car, because that's what we raced. And then did school and street raced all through high school and college, and then moved to Texas and worked in the high tech industry. That's what I did in Silicon Valley first, and then got hired for a big company in Texas before it was in 97, I guess. And I did all that. I made a ass load of money doing jobs that I didn't care about. It was all well and good for a while. But when the economy started hurting in the early 2000s in the telecom industry, which I was working in then, I got tired of it. And I just said, screw it. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And so I had a couple of weird things I was involved in. I had a company I worked for that was Chinese owned and stealing secrets. And when I found out, testified in front of a federal grand jury on
really
it, that stuff. Wow. Oh, yeah. So all of those things led to me going, screw this. I don't want to do any of that. And so I opened my own hot rod shop. I'd already been building cars for people and working on cars for people just as a side thing. But then I went, okay, I'm going to still do this. And it still was sort of a side thing. I mean, it wasn't, I didn't have some big storefront and all that. I was working out of the shop that my dad and I built in Texas that we still have there. And, you know, 2,400 square feet. And we were building cars. And I built my 56 Chevy station wagon by accident. I had a bunch of buddies that I had built cars for that were all supposed to be going on power tour with me in 2005. And we were all supposed to be going in our own vehicles. And through the normal life, like we all experience, these guys, a couple of them couldn't go the whole time, not long enough to drive out, or their junk wasn't, you know, ready or whatever. And so it was one of those, we'll fly into Chicago and go on the trip if you show up in a car that will haul all of us. And so that was 59 days before power tour.
Oh, my gosh.
And wow. I had a...
You got schnookered.
Oh, yeah. And I had a 56 Chevy station wagon that I bought for $400 out of a field. And it was sitting in the corner of the shop. And I had also bought a Caprice 9C1, you know, cop car, an Impala SS, you know, cop car, at an auction. And I had only bought it to use the brakes off of it and the rear end out of it and the engine and trans and that kind of stuff, you know, to put in this 56. And it turns out as I was measuring stuff that the chassis on those cars is the wheelbase is an inch longer than the 56. And everybody that's ever built a Tri-5 Chevy knows that the wheelbase on them is an inch too short stock. So that was good. And I started to realize that everything would fit under it. And the floors all had to come out of the 56 anyway, because they were all rusted. So I literally cut the floor out of the Caprice and the floor out of the 56, and then rolled the chassis of the Caprice underneath the 56 and set it on top of it.
Oh, so you build a hybrid.
Yeah, and we did it before anybody else did it. There have been a handful of guys who've done it since, but nobody had done that swap before. And, you know, the body went on and off of that thing probably 5 or 6 times before we started welding. But when we welded the 56 body to that floor, the floor had never been unbolted from the chassis since it was manufactured by Chevrolet, and it still hasn't. It's never been unbolted. It's never been taken apart. Mm-hmm. And so I built this thing in 59 days with my grandpa and my dad. And it was in our spare time. It was in the evenings because I was working on customer cars and everything else the rest of the time. And I drove that car 1 mile from my shop, turned around, drove it 1 mile back, and then drove it all the way from Dallas, Texas to Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh,
and
trial by fire, man. Wow.
Yeah, me and a buddy of mine. And we drove it all the way up there, picked up my boys at the airport in Chicago on the way. I had not slept in 48 hours before we left from Dallas. I fell asleep in traffic, stopped, luckily with it in park, in Chicago traffic. And Mike, the sleeper, my buddy that was riding next to me, he let me sit there sleeping. and when the cars started moving, he whacked me. He goes, dude, you took a 15-minute nap. You ought to be good for another couple of days.
And so, like a true friend would.
Yeah. So we go to power tour with that car, and we get to power tour and we pull up to registration because I hadn't pre-registered or any of that. And we get to registration and there's a huge line, and I roll up and it's on air ride. And I roll up and lay this thing out on the ground, which means the rockers are 3/4 of an inch off the ground and the front bumper is firmly planted on the ground. And and we go get in line, and Harley says, dude, look, and there's like 100 people around the car, like everybody's staring at this thing. And so it got famous really quickly, and I got famous with it. And Hot Rod ended up going, you're a loudmouth and you're not afraid to talk in front of crowds. Do you want to be the voice of power tour? And it just sort of snowballed from there. So nice. I had spoken in front of big groups for years for work, and it didn't bother me, but I never had done that. And so becoming this, you know, personality at events just sort of happened, and all because of a 56 Chevy that's sitting in my backyard right now. So, and it snowballed into, you know, TV and, you know, drag week and more power tours and me building more cars and me moving here to work for Spectre Performance and build all their race cars. And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And ultimately ended up, with David Freiberger, saying he wanted to leave Hot Rod. He and I had become friends and he wanted to leave Hot Rod. And so he said, I've got an opportunity, but I'm only doing it if you're going with me. And so I left Spectre and we started a thing called Car Junkie TV, which mm-hmm. just happened to be the greatest thing the internet has ever seen. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. the collapse of 2008 took us out. And so, so then...
Yeah, thanks a lot, David.
Yeah, I know. So, well, then I had no money, no anything else, but I was already fully committed. So we literally sat in his office before we left our big building in Burbank and came up with a new name. And I said, how about Bang Shift? It works. And we started bangshift.com and asked Brian Loans if he wanted to be a part of it. And a few months later, David had to go back to Hot Rod because they told him they wouldn't pay him as a freelancer. They told him they were cutting him off if he didn't come back to work for them. So he had a new baby and had to. So he went back to work, and me and Brian kept going, and Bang Shift is what it is now.
That's very cool.
Awesome.
Nice.
How many followers do you believe that you guys have on social media?
On social media, we've got, well, on Facebook alone, we're like 375 or 380,000 people, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could have that many.
Yeah, we reach... you know, depending on the month, anywhere from 500,000 to 700,000 unique viewers, 1.5 to 2 million page views. And that's not counting any of our live stuff, you know.
Wow.
Our live stuff happened because one day I was sitting in my office and I was watching a radio show, a morning radio show live stream. And I thought, well, shit, why can't we do that at a racetrack? Well, there's a reason you can't do it at a racetrack. It's because there's no internet there. But I was too stupid right. to think that. So I convinced one of my guys, Dustin, to come and work with me on doing it. And we live streamed our first event. It was a California Hot Rod reunion, which is kind of funny since NHRA sucks now and won't let us do it.
Yeah.
We live streamed the first one. We were live for probably, maybe 10 minutes at a time. and it would drop and we would start it and we'd go about 10 minutes at a time and people worshiped us for it. I think that first broadcast, I remember us hitting 100 people watching and being super excited. Now we have thousands of people that watch, obviously, but it was cool, and everybody said it wouldn't work. My business partners told me no, and I said, screw you, and I did it. And now it's our biggest draw on the website. So, you know.
Nice. That's really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always looking forward to whatever you guys post up. And I have probably shared more Bang Shift pages to my other Facebook friends than any of the other things that I follow on Facebook.
Right.
Because this stuff is so cool. It's so cool. I mean, it's got, you guys talk about race stuff, just weird cars. Just, it's not like one of those things where you get the same kind of content every day. Every day is different. And I don't know how you guys do it. I'm blown away that you guys can harvest so much cool information and then pass it along and write it up really nicely, too. It's not just a couple of pictures with a caption. There's some really well-thought-out verbiage that goes along with it, too. And I'm always blown away, and I'm just kind of curious, how much time and effort do you guys put in on a normal day just to keep that thing spinning? I mean, it's got to be amazing because what you guys put out is very professional.
Well, it's, you know, we've got Brian McTaggart, who's, you know, full time with us now, and then Brian Loans as well. And, you know, each of them puts in a pretty regular day, you know, each day. I not only find content and send it off to them and, you know, write stuff of my own, but I'm also the one that's doing all the tech stuff, which we'll have a bunch of this year. And then I'm the one that's doing all the other stuff that has to happen. So besides all the live streaming video stuff, I'm the one that deals with all the technology and actually keeping the website running and, you know, all of those things too. But what I'm real excited about this year is the stuff that we're doing in the shop right now. So, you know, Brad is one of the rare folks who's actually been to my shop. I don't hide it or anything, but only, you know, my close friends have been there, and he's seen that it's not very big. But I have a ton of stuff that is on my list to do, welding projects, car projects that we're already working on, et cetera, et cetera. So this year there's going to be a lot more tech, which is pretty cool. You know, I'm uniquely qualified to do some of that tech stuff. So I spend a lot of time on the engine dyno and everything as well. So we'll have a lot of dyno stories and stuff like that that's going to happen this year. But it's interesting because, you know, I think that my time is best spent, you know, trying to put out that kind of content. So we're going to have even more this year. It's going to be awesome.
Wow, that's great.
That's way cool. All right, so I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
So I know the bank shift thing is really kind of, is probably pretty much your full-time gig.
Oh, yeah.
If you had the opportunity to race full-time and give up bank shift, would you do it?
In 4 seconds. Yeah.
4 seconds, 1,320 feet at a time, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. I've driven, you know, everything from pro stock on down. I do not have a red hat at Bonneville. I really wish I did, and I will someday, but.
Well, what's the fastest you've gone at Bonneville?
I've been 216 mile an hour at Bonneville.
Nice.
And I've been 202 mile an hour in the quarter mile. Nice.
That was pro stock?
Yeah, in a pro stock car. And I've driven, you know, pro stock, super stock, stock eliminator, you know, comp dragsters, just door cars of all kinds, you know, et cetera. But,
right.
But yeah, if I could make a good living, wait, who am I kidding? I don't make a good living now. If I could make a living,
equally poor.
Yeah. If I could make any kind of living racing professionally or racing full time, I should say, I don't even care if it was at a, you know, I don't want to drive a Top Fuel dragster, really. I mean, I would like to drive one to say I did it, but quite frankly, I'd much rather drive a funny car. I've driven dragsters and I just prefer an engine out in front of me. It's just cooler to me, but yeah, I would race. No question. My ultimate deal would be to do a TV show and race full time. That would be my thing.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your favorite class? Is it pro stock or?
Yes, by just my heart is with pro stock. Okay. Right. Now, with that said, I know that it's on rocky ground because people don't understand it. And because NHRA, quite frankly, has ruined their fans. NHRA spent, you know, decades convincing people that they needed to get up out of their seats as soon as the fuel cars were done so that they could go watch people work on the fuel cars. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate that. I've worked on fuel car teams. I love that. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of other great drag racing that's going on that people are missing then if they get up and walk out of the stand.
Oh, for sure.
Probably some of the best.
Unfortunately, pro stock is one of those, right? So
pro stock's by far the most competitive of all the classes.
Oh my god!
Everybody's running 200, you know, 201. I mean, back to back to back.
Oh yeah.
And I mean it's down to the thousandths of a second over and over and over in every race. I love it.
It is. It's great, but it's not nearly as spectacular to watch. They don't catch on fire. They don't blow the bodies off of them. They don't do all those things. So, you know. Pro stock is where my heart is. If I had to go, you know, somewhere off of that, I would say pro mod. You know, that's, I love pro mod. It's a great class. It's like pro stock meets funny car. So it's cool.
Rowdy.
It's still door car stuff is what it is. That's
yeah.
That's exactly.
It's all about the doors.
Yeah. And I want to drive a nostalgia funny car. I may get the opportunity to license in one finally this year. I was supposed to have already licensed at the end of last year, but obviously with all of Daphne's health stuff, we just, you know, had to put a lot of stuff on hold. So hopefully I'll get in a nostalgia funny car this year, and it'll actually end up better because I've been I've been getting faster because I've been getting skinnier. So I'm trying to get rid of my fat ass so I can fit in a race car better.
Overall weight trends, yes, for all that stuff. Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude, I'm 300s quicker right now because I've lost 30 pounds already this year. So I'm on it.
Dude, I just don't think I could give up the tacos.
Trust me, I have a weakness for tacos myself. So I get Mexican food, you know, multiple times a day. In fact, if you want to know what my dream life would be, my own TV show of my own decision, you know, nobody telling me what to do. I'd do my own TV show. I would race professionally and I would live in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. That's the deal right there. Those are my three deals.
And Daphne
would be like, yeah, okay, right now, you know, no question.
And sponsored by Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. No.
Hello? Yes.
He likes tacos.
I'm in.
I've seen him in and out burger. He can handle a double pretty good.
See? Yeah. Not
okay,
anymore.
So I got back up a minute.
I'm going smaller. See.
So I've got back up a minute because you had talked about being in the telecom industry, and that doesn't really have much to do with the car thing, but that's my industry. I do a lot of voiceover IP stuff. I'm just kind of curious, and there's going to be other people in technology too who are curious, what was it specifically that you did?
Ah, see, I was not in the technical side. I was in the recruiting and human resources and operations side. So I worked as a headhunter in Silicon Valley growing up, and ran my own recruiting organization for a while and worked as a recruiter for a bunch of different companies and then an HR manager and then ultimately director of operations for a telecom company, et cetera, et cetera. So,
okay, very cool.
Yeah. So I hired all of the guys and at some level when I was the operations director, made sure they were all doing what they needed to do, but I didn't need to know how to do it.
Very cool. Well, we probably talked then because I hired a number of people through Headhunter. So
there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I got, I'm going to rattle off another question here. Shift gears again. Sure. You seem to have a proclivity for long roof cars.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I don't know why. It's really funny. I have a group of friends who have known me since I was 8 years old who would tell you that I'm a 69 Camaro guy, okay, or that I'm a Camaro guy, because that's what I grew up as, and I am. I still have my 69 Camaro convertible, but there's just always been something about station wagons that have done it for me, and honestly, I have this memory of when I was, maybe I was 16, but I don't think so. I'm going to say 13 or 14 or 15, something like that. Going to a Good Guy show, and going to the swap meet, buying parts for my Camaro. And I remember seeing a 70, 71, 72 Chevelle, station wagon there. Right. And it was in the swap meet, and it was like a almost done project, the kind I would drool and die for right now. and it looked so badass on big rallies and stuff. Like, you know, it had a big and little combo on it, and it just looked bitching. And there was something about it that just did it for me. And then I've always liked wagons, but when I got my 56 was the first wagon. And so then after I got the 56, then when David and I were doing Car Junkie TV, I lied to Daphne, my wife, and bought a 66 Bel Air wagon also. And I lied to her because, well, actually, I guess I didn't end up lying to her. It was a lie for a long time, but I made good on it. I lied to her and told her, oh, man, honey, this could be your car. It'll be great. And then I drove it for years without her getting it. But I drove it in stone stock form. Okay. I mean, it was completely original. And it was completely original until the suspension was so bad I just couldn't drive it anymore. And the 283 ran like a top, but it leaked from every gasketed surface. And so it was horrible. And so then it sat in our backyard for a few years. The only thing it had on it were a set of wheels. And It sat for years in the backyard. And then Daphne one day said, okay, it's time. You're building my car. And so we put, you know, suspension on it from Ride Tech and a TCI 700 R4. And we put this 383 GM, you know, HT 383 stroker motor that Freiberger had had and, sitting around. We put that in it and I put a Mosher built 12 bolt, a 12 bolt that I'd had for like 15 years before I ever owned the car. I had a 12 bolt for it because a guy, my cousin actually found it in a wrecking yard and said, hey, I found a 12 bolt. Do you want this thing? I said, yeah. And because the Impala 12 bolts have a center section that's the same as a Camaro. It has no ears on it or anything. So I only wanted the rear end so I could take the tubes out of it and make another Camaro 12 bolt out of it. But it turns out then I bought a car that needed that 12 bolt. So, but anyway, so that it's got, you know, Holley EFI on it and all this bitchin' stuff. And then, so we started driving it and she started running it and we were spraying it with 100 shot of nitrous. And it was actually two kits that made 100 shot and it started running 12s and she was all thrilled with it as her daily driver and everything. And then we, then the folks at Blueprint, hooked us up with a 400 cubic inch small block. It's their Power Adder series. And that's the engine that's in it now. And it's been with the same nitrous, but 100 horsepower more motor. It's ran 1220s. And that's with the transmission having a couple issues shifting because we're, Daphne's little. So she can't hold the steering wheel and column shift this thing at the same time. So, because it's too big of a reach. So we'd race this thing and drive. So she pulls into the water in drive, jumps on the throttle. It hops up on the tire. When it makes the 1-2 shift, she lifts off the brake and drives it out of the water. It shifts into high gear, does a big smoky burnout, pull up to the starting line, still in drive and run it. And it runs low 12s in drive. So it's holding second gear too long on the 2-3 shift. So we have some changes we're going to make to the transmission that'll fix that, some adjustments. And then the thing on the 100 shot should run 1190s, honestly. Then we're going to spray it a little bit more and try and run 1149 or quicker so we get kicked out for no roll bar.
Perfect.
And then I'm going to put a roll bar in it, and then we're going to give it boost. We're either going to put a turbo on it or a pro charger or a Vortec or something.
So are you just running like 8.5-inch tires on it right now or?
Yeah, a 275 50 17 drag radial from M&H Racemaster.
Nice. And turning those kinds of numbers, that's badass.
Oh, yeah. And it's we drove it, you know, last year we went on Rocky Mountain Race Week, which we'll do again in July this year. We went on Rocky Mountain Race Week. The new motor had 28 miles on it, including chassis dyno time and driving it around town for one day. It had 28 miles on it. We drove it from here all the way to Kearney, Nebraska, then did a whole week of drag racing with it and then drove it to Yellowstone, went through Yellowstone on vacation and then drove it home. And when we did that, we put 5,000 miles on it in 14 days or whatever.
Wow. Damn. Nice break in. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It probably got fairly decent mileage, too, didn't you?
Actually, better than I would have thought. And I'm going to make it be even better. But yeah, it got 17 miles to the gallon.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, for 400 inches, I mean, it doesn't have very much camshaft in it, but still, I mean, it's 400 inches. So yeah. And I mean, with the overdrive, and that's without the lockup torque converter because I was, I ran out of time and didn't hook up the wiring to lock up the converter. So it's got overdrive, but the converter wasn't even locked up. So it should get 18, you know?
Yeah.
But it's great. The Holley EFI is rad. And so like, we'll drive down the road and I'm sitting there playing with it and it's fun. It's great. And it's dry nitrous. Like the EFI controls everything. It's bitching.
That's nice. So cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I kind of ended up with a similar situation. I found a 57-283 that I just kind of had to have. Had an old Offie intake and three Rochesters on top, you know, number matched and everything. And I couldn't get a hold of my wife. And
yeah.
So I just, you know, pulled the trigger and bought it and brought it home. And she goes, what's that? And, you know, and my wife's way cool about the whole hot rod thing. Well, a couple months later, I ended up with a 2017 Roadster. Well, she laid claim to my motor and my 2017. Nice. So yeah, that's what I've been building for the last couple of years. And that's actually just about finished. And I bought stuff for me and it's now hers.
Yeah. No. And
I'm totally fine with it.
Exactly.
She looks way better driving it than I do.
Oh yeah. People, like, it's funny. People ask me, like, oh, how is it to race her car? And I'll be honest with you. Like, I mean, I've driven it down the freeway a bunch of times and stuff. And, but I've only run it down the drag strip twice. And that was at Bandimere on Rocky Mountain Race Week last year, because we were having a problem with it. And it turns out it was my fault, but but we were having an issue and it was running weird. And every time she'd come back in the pits, I was looking at the data logs and then asking her what it was doing, you know, to compare to that. And she went, you just make a run in it, because I don't know if I'm hearing the same thing you're asking me to hear or whatever, you know.
Right.
And so I made two passes in it, and they were – we were at Bandimere with no nitrous. It was just motor passes. It was like 14 seconds. I mean, you know, so I'm, yeah, I've, or 1380s or something. I don't know, but I've never raced the car in its fast configuration. That's all her. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So she kicked your ass on the drag strip in the same car. That a girl.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. If you get right down to it, she has. She's killer on the tree too. She doesn't think so, but she is. So yeah.
That's way cool.
Yeah. But that's how the wagon thing started. And now I love wagons. I would love to own more wagons. I love wagons. I love vans. Vans are cool.
Vans are awesome.
Oh, I want another van so bad. I like anything, really. I'm way more of a truck guy than anybody gives me credit for on Bang Shift, actually. They all think of Brian as the truck guy, but I've owned way more trucks than he has and way cooler trucks than he has.
Can we quote you on that?
Yeah. I've owned laid out, slammed to the ground stuff, everything from mini trucks to full sizes. I've owned very, very, very lifted big trucks and everything in between. So, yeah.
That's funny. My dad was always a hot rodder, and I kind of got my feet wet with the whole mini truck thing in the late 80s.
Yeah.
So Steve did too. Steve was big into the mini truck thing. Oh, we kind of both have come full circle. He's got his own, but I've been helping my 17-year-old build his. So because my wife doesn't want me having.
Yeah, see, I want another mini truck. My son is building a love truck.
Yes.
That, you know, will be a pro touring fun little hot rod, but I want I either want a S10 or a Mitsubishi like I used to have, or maybe a Mazda. I mean, laid on the rockers, you know, old school 90s full air ride laid out, you know, rail it, you know, mini truck, because that was awesome.
Yep.
There you go, Steve.
I'm a little older than you are, Chad. When I was building mini trucks, we stanced them the other way. The back was higher than the front.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's one of those old parts. He's put square headlights and tube grills and
fender flares,
murals.
Yeah, like 620 Dodsons, right?
There you go.
Actually, I had a 720 back in the day, and I've got two Toyota mini trucks now that are kind of in the works.
Don't tell me that or I'll come visit you.
Come on out, man. I got a 5,000 square foot hot rod shop with a full machine shop and a paint shop. The whole works. Right here in my backyard.
You said you'd move in? Is that what you just said? I heard it.
I've got 5 acres.
Yes. Chad only needs 2,500 square feet.
Exactly. Actually, you know what? I'll be a good boy. I'll do 1,800.
And not a foot less.
Yeah.
If you saw the size of his shop he had now, that would be a step up.
Yeah, because my shop's 1,167 square feet, and that there's an office in that as well. And so it is not very big. But I have sold some stuff, but I still don't have any room. So I don't.
But you're smaller now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you build a bigger shop, you just get more shit.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
That's the kind of shit that I like to have.
Yeah, but Chad's down 300, so it's okay. It really doesn't matter. As long as he's down a weight, that's all that matters anyway. Say,
the smaller you are, the bigger the shop seems.
Yeah, there you go. It's still not big enough.
Because, you know, when you're skinny, you can squeeze through the aisles. You know.
Now, there, you are right about that, because the other day I had to squeeze through in a place where I went, wow, I wouldn't have been able to do that 3 months ago.
There you go.
You know, all right. Another question for you. On the you guys do the question of the day. What are some of the more funny, more questionable topics that have hit the cutting room floor?
Oh, man. I got to tell you, yeah, the question of the day, we've thought of some really funny ones over the years that I can't even, like, I can't pull one out of the off the top of my head. But there have been a bunch of them that where we laugh and go, yeah, we can't do that because some sponsor will not be happy about that.
We do that a lot, too.
But I have to tell you, I am getting ready to do I'm working on a list right now because I want to do an editorial series that are car terms that sound offensive but aren't. Okay? And so, you know, things like retard, for example, you know, et cetera.
We just
we're going to – I'm working on the list right now of those things, and we'll probably be doing that before too long.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So, Mr. Swanson, are you back with us? Well, he was.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hey, there we go. Yeah.
Speaking of sponsors, there. What do you what's your best advice with your sponsors? Like, what's the best way to deal with them?
Oh, you know, I get asked that a lot. Like, there's always these people that will come up to you at a car show or a race or whatever, and you know, they're in love with the whatever third gen Camaro they just built or whatever, and it's their first project and they're ultra proud of it. And let me say, I totally encourage that. And by the way, love third gen Camaros. That's why I'm using it as an example. But you know, but guys with a car that clearly is not sponsor worthy yet, okay? Or they haven't accomplished enough yet, but they hear all the stories of, you know, people getting paid to do stuff just because they're on social media and have 100 friends or whatever. So those people are the ones I'm always trying to, like, have a conversation with and encourage them or whatever and give them advice on the different things. And what I always tell everybody is just be honest. I mean, you got to deliver. Whatever it is you say you're going to deliver, you have to. And I have to tell you that that's not always easy. I mean, I have a Blazer sitting in my shop right now that has a Chevy Performance E-Rod crate motor package in it. And it was already supposed to be a running, driving, racing car by now. But my wife got sick and I went, okay, everything else has to fall to the wayside. Now, luckily, Chevrolet is a great guys, and you know, I've explained the situation to them and they totally get it and they're totally fine and they understand what priorities are. But you got to manage your sponsors. You got to know how they are and you got to know how picky they are, and you got to be realistic. You got to be real honest with them and you got to be real honest with yourself, because the truth of the matter is, as hot rodders, we're all liars. We all think that we can build a car in a certain amount of time when we all know it takes at least 3 times that long, if not 4 times or 5 or 10 times as long as we think.
Well, they do it in an hour on TV.
Well, yeah, of course.
With commercials.
We're idiots because we also think we can do it on the money that we have left over.
And that's completely false. Oh, I'm so guilty of that.
So the thing is, you got to get to the point where you can be honest with yourself, so that you can be honest with your sponsors. Now, the good thing is they all know we're full of crap anyway. So so they're going to cut you a little bit of slack. But, you know, that's the big thing. And for me, I mean, I have great relationships with people, not only that are sponsors on Bang Shift, but that go beyond that. You know, companies like Aeromotive Fuel Systems and Holley, the guys at Ride Tech. I mean, these are companies that I am a spokesperson for because I believe in their product, not because they write me a check to be a spokesperson for them. You know, companies like Bear Breaks, who aren't even an advertiser with us on our site, but they make a great product. And conversely, Willwood, you know, their number one competition, another company that makes great products, doesn't spend any money with us, but I will gladly wave the flag for those guys every, you know, opportunity. To me, the biggest thing when you're going to worry about getting sponsors is you got to be true to yourself and make sure that they're really a brand you believe in, because no parts are free. Nothing's free. Everybody thinks that because we run a magazine, we somehow get all these free parts and we can build cars for nothing. Well, let me tell you, every single part costs me something, and I would much rather just write a check or hand a credit card over and get the parts and not owe a single person anything for them. It's way, way, way better. But sometimes you can't do that. So you got to go out there and you got to beg for parts. So you got to make sure that you're giving them what you promise them and that you're giving them more than you promise them. And that's just part of the deal. But, you know, I have, for example, Chris Alston's Chassis Works, another company I believe wholeheartedly in, right? Chris is an amazing human being. All of the people at that company are great. It is a family run, really, really bitchin' outfit that makes amazing parts. Well, I'm not too proud to tell anybody that they sponsored me for a back half kit and a bunch of suspension for the Blazer, all of the roll cage tubing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I went up there, they bent up a lot of the roll cage tube for me ahead of time. I mean, all these different things is great. It's thousands of dollars worth of parts. But I have an axle housing in it that is this bitchin' amazingly awesome welded gorgeous piece that's under that car. It doesn't have a center section or axles or brakes on it. And it's going to cost me thousands of dollars for the center section, you know, a Detroit locker, the axles, et cetera, for that thing. And, you know, and is it possible that I'll get somebody to help me out with some of those parts? It's possible, but I can't count on that. You know, you got to be prepared to do it. And I know a guy right now who is building a really bitchin' project, and he has some really good backing with some really good parts, okay? But he is still struggling every week to come up with enough money to buy the things that are not sponsored. Because right. You and I all know, if you're honest with yourself, if I went out and pulled the small block out of Daphne's car right now and took another small block that was sitting right next to it and put it in, it's going to cost me $1,000, okay? Right. Because yeah. I'm going to put new belts on it. I'm going to put new hoses on it. I'm going, oh, you know what? I should put a new power steering pump on that thing now.
Water pump, plugs, wires, yeah.
Yes, exactly. All of that stuff adds up, and people always underestimate. So the truth of the matter is, you got to be prepared to spend the money because your sponsors are not going to cover all of it. That's probably the biggest bit of advice, is that you better have enough money to build this car with no sponsorship, because when one of them flakes or when you don't have enough of them to cover every single part, you're still going to end up spending a bunch of money.
Yep.
Hey, if you want a real challenge, right. Chad, go ahead and build a streamliner, because everything just bolts right onto that thing.
Dude, I've seen it. Catalog it looks like order. Everything bolts on. Yeah. I have to say, you know, Brad may not be much of a pinstriper, but that dude can build a streamliner, man.
Let me correct you just a little bit there, Chad. What he can do is convince people to build a streamliner for him.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. Hey.
What?
Although, Brad, I wouldn't let Chad near him. He might dent it.
Yeah. Hey, I have to say, I think the streamliner is badass, and I never would have realized how much skill he's got, because in all honesty, we all know that he's an amazing graphics guy, and he can paint the hell out of anything that'll sit still long enough. But I didn't realize just how talented he was at building a car until I saw all the photos of the streamliner.
Yeah, that thing's bitching.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's ultra badass. Yeah. I want to grow up to be like Brad King. That's what I want.
But the great part about that
car
is...
Well, you're already broke. You're already halfway there.
Yeah. You know, just work on the whole impotence thing and you'll be...
Oh, dude, that was great. Man, the timing right there. You're the man.
You know what's great, though, is once you debut that car, Brad, you'll already be able to put a little insignia on the side that says 20th anniversary.
Oh, yeah. You'll be able to run it in your nostalgia class on the first time you got it out.
Wow.
And if you can get Bang Shift to sponsor it, maybe after the first time Chad comes out to see it, you can just scratch the F out of it and you're Bang Shit.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like your truck.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think you're a member of the group now, Chad.
That was two for one.
I hurt. I really hurt. I thought you were supposed to be nice to the guest.
Oh, you told the final bit, didn't you?
That's obviously
who told
lie.
You you're a guest.
Yeah, nobody got that memo, right?
We're an equal opportunity offender here.
Nice. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
We'll have to change the name of it now. It's gonna be Round 7.
Yeah.
Chad's never gonna come back. Are you kidding?
Oh, that's awesome.
I've had enough of this.
So where do you see Bang Shift in, say, 5 years' time?
Ooh. You know, that's a tough one. If I go by my vision and don't give any credit or ability to speak to my, you know, business partners and colleagues, then I would say that I see Bang Shift being much more video-centric than it is now. I would say that it also has a pretty regular television presence. And I would say that it's bigger and badder. And when I say that, I mean, you know, still lots of content, still the diversity of content, but also putting on our own events, you know, our own races, our own road trips, etc. That's the kind of thing that I see as the natural growth and the place that I want to see Bang Shift get to. I mean, I want to do our own version of Power Tour, if you will. I want to do our own version of Drag Week, if you will. I want to do a bunch of things that nobody else has thought of. So I want all of those things because we're about the automotive lifestyle, which means that I think we need to provide more and more ways for people to come out and enjoy their hot rods and therefore experience and enjoy the lifestyle.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, I know, like, it's a misused term. Go ahead, Brian.
I wanted to pitch an idea I have to you. We'll do this off air. I'd love to pitch an idea for you of a Bang Shift movie for Lifetime Networks.
Ooh. My wife would watch it.
As long as I can cry. I am in.
Oh, you will.
Oh, it's
going to
be awesome.
On the Hallmark channel then. It won't even be Lifetime. It'll be Hallmark.
It's going to be awesome. I've got Judith White lined up. It's going to be great.
There's going to be a tremendous amount of crying because we're going to get the original 32 from American Graffiti and make Brad King drive it.
Oh, nice.
Can we make the grill longer first?
I'm already crying thinking about it.
Wait, Brad, do you not like that car?
Oh, that's for another time. No, I don't like that car.
I'm hoping you don't, because I want to not be the only human that doesn't care at all for that car.
Oh, we're in good company, then. Yeah, I don't like that car.
Okay, good. See, then you and I, it's a match made in heaven, my friend.
Before we, let me break up the love fest real quick and piggyback on Brian's question, Chad. Do you, so given the last couple of years and the print side of the hobby, mm-hmm. you see the online presence kind of doing away with print, with magazines, or
no.
You think they can coexist?
Oh, I think they'll coexist. I think that magazines will always exist at some level.
As long as there are bathrooms, right?
Yeah, I say always. I think there's going to be some period of time, you know, in the future where we don't do anything on paper, but in our lifetime, I believe that there is still a place for magazines. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I haven't read a hot rod magazine in so many years. I can't tell you, which on the one hand makes me sad. And part of that is just, or most of that's because I just don't have the time.
Yeah, sure.
But quite frankly, most of the time that I spend online is working. So I really don't have enough time to go out there and really read things just for pleasure online anyway. So, you know, that is what it is. But I believe that print magazines have a place. I think they always will. And I don't want them to go away. I don't look at everybody as competition because I don't think that, you know, we're car guys. We don't just like one car magazine, whether right. it's online or in print. We like them all. And there's plenty of room. This great big internet, you know, is here. And we can all do good things with it. So I hope that Hot Rod and, you know, CarCraft and all those people stay around. And quite frankly, if we're being real honest, I don't think that the death of print magazines, specifically Hot Rod, CarCraft, Popular Hot Rodding, et cetera, I don't think the death of them will be because the American public or the world doesn't want print magazines anymore. I think it'll be because the organization that owns them, called 10, is a completely inept group of people and they will run them into the ground.
Hey, speaking of sponsors, have you grown the Bang Shift brand enough to where you're not doing a lot of chasing of sponsors? They're starting to come to you. Are you starting to see that now?
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of people that come to us. But I still, that's one of my responsibilities too, though, is all the sponsorship side of things. So I still am chasing, if you will, sponsors all the time because, you know, we're growing. And so as we grow, we have more room for more sponsors. So, you know, somebody may come to us, you know, today and say, hey, do you have, you know, what's the deal? You know, you got any packages available? Can I be a sponsor on Bang Shift? And I may tell them, no, we're, you know, all full, but I'll leave you on the list. And as soon as something opens up, I'll let you know. In those scenarios, then I'm calling guys going, okay, it's time. You know, I got room. At which point half of them, actually more like 3/4 of them, have already spent their money for the year and they can't do it or whatever. And so, you know, so you're always chasing it at some level, you know, sometimes more than others. Certain times a year are crazy. You know, certain times a year, at the beginning of the year end of the year, we're in full thrash mode to make sure everybody re-signs, you know, for another year and, you know, sure. all that kind of stuff too. So, it's easier because I don't need to sell anybody on who we are and what we do anymore. But you still got to do the work. You know what I mean?
Sure. I'm sure it never gets any easier to convince people to let go of their money.
No, but at least now, one thing, like, at least we're not explaining who we are. I mean, I remember like every year at SEMA or at MPMC, like it got better where less and less people asked who the hell you were. and I remember that like happening. And I remember, you know, going home from SEMA and the first time going, nobody asked us who the hell we were this year, you know, and that was cool. So.
Well, we're about to experience that ourselves, I think.
Yeah. Dude, it's just part of it. It's cool. Because the truth of the matter is, if you started and everybody knew who you were and what you were doing, then there would never be that experience of, oh, my God, sure. we made it or sure. any of that. So,
that is the best part. It's humbling when you walk up to someone, you shake their hand, and they're like, and you are? And you explain it, and they go, never heard of you.
Right. Yeah. And you just, it's what it is. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah.
I've gotten that.
Yeah,
before.
But it's still your dad, Brian. It's still your father. So.
I know. At the end of the day, he does care. It's just a public thing he has to be.
You just don't want people to say, yeah, not a fan.
Yeah. Oh, I've had that. I love that. Oh, I've seen your stuff. I don't like you at all.
Really?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They don't mark all over your drawings, do they?
Hey, Chad, how long has Bang Shift been going on? How long has that thing been up?
08 was when we started.
So when the other one crashed, then that thing you're working on with Dave, when it went down, then Bang Shift started right up. I mean, it was pretty much, let's do this thing.
we closed down Car Junkie TV, and when we were told you got to get out of the building and the website's going to go down, like, you know, tomorrow at noon or whatever, we started a new forum because that was our big thing at the time. We started a forum immediately that was called Freiberger's Junkyard because we knew we needed something real quick that would be up and that everybody would gravitate to and know, okay, it's still Freiberger's thing, you know? So we did that. And then within a few weeks, we had the, you know, Bang Shift up. And at first it was just a forum and, you know, and one blog page and, you know, all those kinds of things. We started, Bang Shift started in November literally in the Hard Rock Hotel during or the morning of the start of the SEMA show was when our guys said, okay, the forum is ready. And I signed up as the very first user on the forum when we started Bang Shift. So was that, you know, that day, like I said.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, you know, because you were there from the beginning, do you have any advice for somebody that's wanting to start something like that? What direction do you go in? What's the best thing to do to generate the most interest?
You know, it's tough. The truth of the matter is that you're never going to get rich doing any of this stuff. So, and the reason
hang
that
on,
I start,
Brad told me.
Yeah. Well, the reason I say that is because you have to do what you love, okay? And I know everybody always says that. I'm not saying it for any of the hippie bullshit of if you do what you love, then you'll never work a day in your life or whatever that crap is. That's not true because you still work your ass off. But the reason I say that is because if you don't love it in the early days when there's no other reason to do it, if you aren't into what you're doing, then you're never going to make it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I mean, one of the things that sucks about doing what I do and having done it for so long is I have to consciously keep myself from becoming the David Freiberger. I love Freiberger to death, but he's not a big people person. He never was. That's why I was the good sidekick for him. But he gets really tired of looking at cars and really tired of talking to people about their cars because, you know, we all know it. Everybody walks up to you and says, oh my God, you got to look at my 69 Camaro because there's not another one like it and mine's the best one ever. And the truth of the matter is I've never seen a unique 69 Camaro. I just haven't, except for the station wagon. And that's because I've seen a million 69 Camaros. So anything anybody has done to a 69 Camaro, unless they're just ruining the thing, has probably been done in some form or fashion. And so it isn't anything special. Well, that's all well and good. Okay. But for whoever the guy is that thinks he has the greatest 69 Camaro ever and who wants to tell you about it, like, it's not cool for me to be any less excited about that guy's Camaro if I'm expecting him to be excited about mine. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
totally.
I drive down the street in Rancho and I see people in old cars all the time and I barely glance at them because I see old cars every single day for work, every day. So I hardly glance at stuff that normal people like Daphne and Cole, my, you know, son and my wife, look and go, ooh, 69 Camaro, right? They're still excited. I'm jaded because I look at this stuff all day, every day. So I have to remind myself periodically, dude, you got to be happy that you get to look at 69 Camaros all day, every day, because normal people are sitting at a desk looking at a computer screen, working on something they don't care about at all. You know what I mean? So that's the challenge of the whole deal. You know, it's business and it's all those things and it's a website and whether you're popular or you're not, who knows? It's a lot of it's the luck of the draw. But ultimately being able to survive and not drive yourself crazy is going to be because you dig what you're doing. You know, I mean, that's it.
Right.
Right. That was a great answer. Holy crap.
I'm just looking forward to a day when somebody actually buys enchiladas for me for a change. Instead of me having to buy them for myself.
You're up for enchiladas, aren't you, Steve?
Huh?
It's your turn to buy enchiladas, right?
See? You see? It costs me money to do this stuff.
Can you send enchiladas via Skype now? Is that a...
He's working on it.
Be a great app.
If you could, I'd be forever implanted in this chair.
I'm with you.
Too heavy to get out of it.
Hey, Chad, it's funny you were talking about how it's kind of jaded you, and I've kind of done that same thing. It's in that same realm you are, has been able to work with all these crazy talented people. You know, so somebody go, what do you think of this guy's work? That's all right. You know, I'm not trying to be a smart ass or, you know, or being a jerk about it because he does okay stuff. It's not bad. But I got to hang out with little John Butera and see his stuff. And
you work with Foose on a regular basis.
You see stuff and you go, you know, I see guys that weld that looks like it was done with a computer. It looks like a robot did it. And it's just a guy with a TIG welder. And you go, I don't even know how you can do this stuff. So right. When somebody goes, you know, what do you think of this guy's stuff? It's all right. Well, they look at me like I'm being some snot, and I'm not trying to be. But
right. If
you saw what I get to see all the time constantly, you'd go, man, my level is – I want to see stuff that just blows me away. I mean, it needs to be on a whole different level.
Right.
So,
and the same thing is true no matter what you do for a living. You know, and we've all talked about it countless times. You know, like I flew Apache helicopters for 20 years. And when people hear me say that, they say, oh, that must have been the coolest job in the world. And you go, well, I guess for the first couple of months it was, you know. And
right.
And after the first couple of months, it sucked just like every other job.
Right.
I mean, you get tired of it.
You know, it's funny because it's so hard for, you know, for me to comprehend. I mean, I know it's true, but I just think, holy shit, you get sitting in an Apache every day. And right. You're like, meh. It's like, you know, it's just a desk job.
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting because everybody's frame of reference is different, right?
Absolutely. But
for sure.
But like I said, I still pinch myself and go, okay, remember how lucky you have it. And then there are days where I don't have to pinch myself. Trust me, I know how awesome it is. But one of the big things that I have to always remind myself of too, and it's kind of cool because Cole, he still, you know, gets excited about this stuff. And Daphne still does too, because they don't hang out with these people as much as I do. But like, I get to hang out with people that are, you know, big time. and you know, they're either pro drivers or celebrities or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I always, like, when I get in the car and I leave some event, I am always thinking to myself, okay, remember to count your blessings and really be thankful for the fact that you get to hang out with these people. I mean, you know, Daphne got sick and, you know, she had been perfectly fine and then she wasn't. And then all of a sudden, you know, pneumonia and a collapsed lung turns into this horrible cancer and, you know, all these things. And we're in the hospital and, you know, she's having to have emergency surgery and being put on a ventilator and all of these different things. And the world didn't really know. I wasn't the guy that was putting all that out there until I needed everybody, you know, and I'm not too proud to say that I told the world because I needed everybody to be praying and I needed everybody to be sending good mojo or well wishes or whatever the hell you want to call it, because she was going to die. And one of the things that is just amazing is, you know, we had some people that we've never met in person, and only know them online, who started a GoFundMe account for us. And we're looking at the GoFundMe account every day. And quite frankly, I wouldn't have cared if $100 was raised. It wouldn't have mattered. The amount was not important. But what was really cool and what was neat to see was when, you know, guys like Ron Capps were giving money, right? When guys like, you know, big name people that we know and big name people that we only sort of know and big name people we don't know were giving things. And then when people that I know gave money. They've never said so, and I've never asked, but I know that they would have, and I know that they were some of the people that gave anonymously. That's just cool as hell. I mean, when you have Del Worsham and the Worsham family racing, you know, donating money, and not only donating money, because that was the easy part, but when Daphne finally got out of the hospital and all she wanted to do was go to the drag races, and we went to the world finals, and we were only there a couple hours because that's all she could handle. But Caps is like, you're coming and hanging out in my hospitality area. And Densham's like, do you guys need a golf cart? And, you know, the guys from Race Pack actually went and got us a golf cart. Not only did they get us a golf cart, but they paid a guy at the gate so they could come out to the parking lot and get us in the golf cart so Daphne didn't have to walk. Awesome. I mean, you know, it's that kind of stuff that lets you know, you know, that's the bitchin' stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
You know, those are the things where you go, okay, this is, we've made some kind of an impact, is when you get to look at the list of people you get to hang out, and when you realize they're just normal idiots like we all are.
Yeah, that's one thing that we're learning. I'll tell you what, you know, and like I mentioned, I was in the military for 35 years. I just retired this year.
Thank you for your service.
Yes. Shut up. And I've been in the car culture my entire life. And I've been involved in a whole bunch of different kind of things. But in my experience, and I'm sure everybody on this panel would agree with me, you will not find, look near or far, you will never, ever find a greater bunch of people than you will in the car culture. Whether it be lowriders or off-roaders, you name it, whatever it is, drag racers and circle trackers, anything, greatest bunch of people on the planet, most compassionate, friendliest, you name it.
Yep, totally agree.
That's awesome.
And you're, obviously your story is a great testament to that.
No, and I agree. I mean, it's just, there are so many reasons for all of us to be thankful.
Yep, absolutely. Definitely. I'm always thankful that I just get to hang around with this bunch of knuckleheads. Sometimes I don't really understand it or realize why, but
we haven't figured it out either, man.
We wondered what we brought you in too, so don't worry.
Every Tuesday when we have a meeting, we talk about that. Oh, I mean,
plus Steve's at work.
You know. Nice.
This was going to be the Steve Hayes show, wasn't it?
Originally. Hey, I don't want to take up your whole night, sir. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here, though, man.
I'm thrilled to death to be here. You guys are awesome, and it's been cool, and I'm more than happy to be on the show anytime you guys need some long-winded, you know, long-bearded guy to be a part of it.
Outstanding. So next Thursday. No.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I finish writing this. Long-winded. Hold on. Here. All right. We're good.
And Jed, for the record, you know about Hot Rodders Road Trip, and we're making the TV thing, and we're doing Masters of the Motorcycle and all that. I just want you to know that when I'm a huge celebrity, big star, I promise to buy you tacos.
Nice.
Whoa.
Good.
Whoa. I promise.
And Steve.
Yeah. Not enchiladas.
Steve.
I'm not going to forget you, little people.
I know that only a couple of you have any real talent that would be able to building a car. But Brad's been sworn to secrecy, but I am working on a project that if we can make it come to fruition here before too long, then I will have you guys come down and do your show live on set for a special deal.
Now that sounds
awesome.
really awesome, dude.
Yeah. I'm talking about, Brad.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, and I don't want you to reveal any big secrets, but is this going to be catered by a Mexican, like a taco shop or anything?
it will be if you're coming. If you're coming, we'll have a taco truck.
Right,
the whole TV thing or whatever this thing is, and all he wants to know about who's catering this.
Celebrity.
We will have is we will have a truck that shows up full of Taco Bell.
Hey. Oh, can we reschedule this?
Yeah. I think I have something.
You've got a bathroom in that shop next to the office?
Yeah.
Well, there goes the Taco Bell sponsorship. Damn it.
Screw this. I'm going back to Iraq.
Well, I just want to know, Steve, when you plan on hitting it big like that, can you let me know like a week in advance so I can leak the photos?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, leak photos of Taco? Never mind.
Yeah. It's a lot. You know the one. I showed you that one earlier, the one with Steve. He's rubbing the enchilada all over himself.
Yeah,
that video. One guy in a cup.
Yeah. I bought eye bleach and it just
one guy. What is it? One guy, one taco show. That was a pretty good one.
One guy, one taco.
I do a variation. Awesome. One man, one ice cream cone, but that's okay.
Don't judge me.
Yeah, Chad. Thank you again for doing this, man.
You're awesome. Sure.
Thank you so much.
Great interview.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome.
Brad asked us to ask you about your refrigerator story.
Oh, we need to hear the fridge story.
Yes, I said it's got to be off the record because...
Yeah. No, you can put it on the record because the building's gone now. It doesn't matter. Oh! It's an IKEA.
We got to tell the story.
Okay, so when we were doing Car Junkie TV, Freiberger and I wanted an old refrigerator for the shop, right? So... We went and bought one from some dude that had a bunch of old refrigerators for sale. And they had all these restored ones and everything, and they cost $1 jillion. So we went, okay, well, what about that rusty patina looking one right there? You know, and the guy said, oh, it works, but it needs to be restored, you know, and everything. And we bought it from him for like, you know, $400 or whatever. So we take it. I put weather stripping on it and everything. It works like a champ. We have, what's his name? Stitch or whatever, the pinstriper Scratch. Guy. Scratch. There you go. Scratch. Who so Scratch that? Comes and pinstripes the side of it with this cool thing on it. And we are good to go. So we've got it there for, you know, the year or whatever it was, in the shop. And we have to leave the shop because when the business goes down, we don't know it. The guy running, we just worked for the guy running it. So we didn't know how bad it was until the landlord literally came to us and said, man, has nobody told you you guys have like 5 days to leave because you haven't started moving nothing. And I mean, literally we had 80 cars in the shop and all this stuff. So, wow. Yeah, so we have to leave in a hurry. So the refrigerator doesn't get to go because we literally have no place to put it. And there is no room in trucks when we leave the final time. So I'm crushed because it's like a 1953 GE or whatever, right? Single door. Okay. So this is years ago. Now, a couple years ago now. So it's probably 2015, we'll say. So it's been like 6 years, okay? 5 or 6 years. At least since we had been there, at least that long. Maybe longer, maybe 8 years. Anyway, Freiberger sends me a message and there's a photo of the refrigerator. And he says, hey, I was by the old building and it's still empty. And it still had the lockbox on it with our code in it. So I went inside and the refrigerator's still there. And I'm like, no way. So he says, you should totally go get it.
It's still cold. Drink's still inside, right?
Oh, yeah. So I do what any, you know, good parent would do. And I load my two children and my wife in the Suburban. I rent a little bitty trailer and we go down there. And I open the lockbox, get the key out. Actually, I didn't because I still had my key. So I just took my key, opened it. We break into the place. Okay. I mean, you know, we open the door, but still not supposed to be there. Go in. The refrigerator is still in there. I'm like, awesome. Totally excited. Well, the problem is we can't get it out the people doors. Okay. It won't fit out of one of the man doors because they're like metal framed, retrofitted little skinny doors, right? In this old building. So we're going to have to go out this one garage door that has an opener, okay? And I still have a key for the opener. So I'm like, okay, great. But I forget that, or no, sorry, I don't have a key for the opener. That's the problem. I don't have a key for the opener, but I have a key for the padlocks. Well, I get the padlocks undone off the garage door, but I don't have the key to do the garage opener, which is one of those barrel keys, right? And I don't remember that there's another lock on the door also, a mechanical lock on the outside. So I go to myself, well, if I just take dike pliers and cut the two wires going into this switch, you know, for the button, then all I have to do is touch the two wires together and this thing will open. So I hit the button and the lock is still locked outside. And it proceeds to rip two panels off the bottom of this fucking garage door.
Oh, man.
That aims out onto the street. Okay.
Breaking, entering, and damaging.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, oh, holy crap. So I quickly figure it out. I open the, unlock the thing. Now the deal is all the way up at the top. And I mean, this is like a 12-foot tall garage door, right? It's not a normal garage door. So we get the two panels that are on the bottom still attached, and we slide them up and prop them up, wheel the refrigerator outside, jam it in the trailer or on the trailer real quick, and then shut the door back down onto the two panels. Sneak out the front, jump in the Suburban, boom, off we go. Because I am Father of the Year, great, you know, example for the kids. So, you know,
you got to teach your kids something. You know, yeah. Teach them what not to do.
Right. So then I get the refrigerator home. We plug it in. It works flawlessly. Okay. So it is sitting on my back porch. And then when I get my shop, okay, I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to take the refrigerator back down to the shop. And Daphne's like, the hell you are. That's my back porch refrigerator. You aren't taking it. So I had to go and look for an old refrigerator. Well, I couldn't find any. I only had $125 to spend and I couldn't find anything worth having. So I'm like, okay, my shop's going to have some tiny little stupid refrigerator in it because that's all the money I got. So I see this ad on Craigslist for a 1954 GE, which is a two-door refrigerator, okay? So, and it's original owner. So I go down, talk to the people. They are the nicest people. They agree to sell it to me for that amount of money basically because they love me and I remind them of their now dead son. True story. And so they sell me the two-door 1954 GE refrigerator with the original butter dish and everything in it. And so it is my shop refrigerator now.
It's a bitchin' fridge. I have seen it. It's pretty cool.
And if I can ever convince my pinstriping buddy to come pinstripe for beer, then then I'm going to have it striped too. But now the one on the back porch has quit working. So I need and the compressor, I believe, is seized up in it because I replaced the, you know, cords on it and everything, and it blows fuses. So I need somebody that can repair an old refrigerator. So if you guys have anybody, I need that.
There's a guy on Instagram that that's all he does is repair and restore old fridges.
Is he local?
He is. I want to say he's Long Beach, not too local,
that's
but
local enough
to you than me.
Yeah.
So. I'll see if I can find him for you here really quick.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, this just became like Angie's List. This is pretty awesome. Eric's List.
Oh, you know, I always know somebody.
Schindler's List.
Wow. That one
does. That won't work. Yeah, that won't work. Wow. You don't want to buy anything off there.
Yeah. All right, boys, I gotta roll because I my computer is getting low on power, so I either need to go get a cord or I need to take it to the cord, one or the other.
Chad, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you and Daphne and the family. So
seriously appreciate that, guys.
Definitely.
Way. So thank you. And like I said, if you need anything, you just ask. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you again, dude.
That's yeah, pleasure. Brad, thanks for asking me to do this, dude, because these guys are way cooler than you said they were.
Yeah, but you were listening to Brad. So.
I couldn't help myself.
I'll be talking here pretty soon.
Yeah. All right. Sounds awesome. Good, guys. Thanks. All right,
thanks again.
Thanks, Chad.
Bye.
Thanks again for joining us here on the Round 6 Podcast. If you've enjoyed this installment, feel free to head over to iTunes, where you can find the rest of our episodes as well. While you're there, please feel free to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast if you would be so kind. You can also find us now on Google Play and Stitcher as well. Be sure to keep up with the Gearheads over on our website at www.round6pod.com. And be sure to keep up with us as well over at our Instagram and Facebook pages, as well as our brand new YouTube channel. Thanks again.